In this episode of the Flybrother Radio Show, I chat with global relationship mentor and international matchmaker Joy Nordenstrom, who has dedicated her career to helping people connect deeply across background and boundary. Joy's community building skills include guiding individuals to be their personal best in partnership, to find and maintain love, make friends, and create amazing, fulfilling relationships. As founder of Joy of Romance Incorporated and the host of the Intelligent Love Vodcast, Joy guides singles looking for their forever partner and mentors individuals already in relationships to optimize and create the best partnerships of their lives. Based on science, practical wisdom, and intuition that comes from a lifetime of experiences, Joy's work spans nearly two decades of detailing unique relationship blueprints, guiding individuals in choosing partners wisely, and laying solid foundations in the art of interdependence. We talk about the romance of life, the correct mindset to have when traveling, the best body language tactics, top tips for people looking for meaningful connections while traveling, and much more. Let's fly with global relationship mentor and international matchmaker Joy Nordenstrom on the Flybrother Radio Show right after this. The Flybrother Radio Show is brought to you by the Monterey Bay Aquarium, where you can experience the wonder beneath the waves and celebrate your connection to the ocean. Learn more about how you can protect the ocean that connects us all at montereybayaquarium.org/share your voice. And remember, that's Monterey with one R, not two. montereybayaquarium.org/share your voice. Hello, hello, everybody. Ernest Wright II here. Welcome back to the Flybrother Radio Show. We have my very good friend, Joy Nordenstrom, who is one of the top matchmakers in America. She's one of the most amazing community builders that I know. She, in addition to being an entrepreneur in several different spaces, she's just a wonderful human being who knows how to connect across background and boundary. She's a mother and a head of household, wife, family member, all of that, plus all the other things that she gets to do, which is why I'm always in awe of her ability to show up fully and bright and shiny. So Joy, thank you so much for being here on the Flybrother Radio Show today.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. Anytime I get to speak with you, it's always a delight to honor off camera.
Aw, thank you. So listen, we have an introduction that appears in the radio version of the show, but you know, here with it going on YouTube as well. Tell us about yourself. How would you introduce yourself differently than I just did, which was a failed intro, by the way.
Well, I have been the founder of Joy of Romance for the last 18 years. Mm-hmm. And in that role, I am a relationship mentor for people who are both single and those are in relationship that want their relationships to thrive. And when you're single, I help you become an expert on learning how to choose wisely. So I've really studied the science of what makes us tick behind relationships and integrated that with chemistry, biology, psychology, neuroscience, something called the facial action coding system, really understanding a lot about what makes us who we are in relationships. So when you understand that, then you can choose more wisely. And then if you can know how to set that foundation is my expertise. And I'm actually an international matchmaker and have been making matches globally.
That's right. That's right. And we're not defined by any boxes.
New boxes here. No boxes whatsoever. Global. And
yes.
And I have what I call a secret society of integrity based matchmakers, because unfortunately, when I first discovered about matchmaking as a business, I felt like I had been matchmaking since I was in high school. I just love making connections, whether it's like for a hairdresser or an auto mechanic or, you know, study buddy or love connections. I've just had that natural knack. And so I found out about some place called the Matchmaking and Behavioral Sciences Institute in New York City, which no longer exists in that entity. And it was quite a rigorous training that we had. Now the training for that is much, much smaller, the time frame that they do. But I really appreciated there were a handful of people I found that had people's hearts in mind instead of just the dollar figures. So it does take a lot of time and energy because I'm a cross between what I call a private investigator for my clients' heart's sakes and an executive recruiter and a coach. So I'm like pulling this all together, and I stay with my clients after they've gotten together with the match, and I mentor both the person who I made the connection with who's not my client and the person who's my client for those first 3 months, which nobody else does. So.
Mm-hmm. A little bit different. I love it. I love all. Oh, more. There's more.
I was going to say, and I have an international army, which I call a secret love agents. So there's people out there all over the place who are scouting for good people who are single and people who might need my services, who just got into a relationship and they really want to make that the best relationship of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that. And we are definitely presenting an opportunity for people who are listening to reach out to you later later in this episode, because I'm sure there are many folks who will find resonance with the support that you provide. And so, you know, one of the things that really kind of that we connected on, not only was it about connecting with other people, and certainly I've done my time as a matchmaker as well. And I just, you know, I believe in the power of love to kind of transcend everything. I believe it's the strongest force in the universe. It's what holds our atoms together. And I believe it's one of the it is the engine that runs Fly Brother, that kind of powers my desire to connect with people in many different places and in many different ways. And so talking with you about travel as a key component to preparing us individually for amazing relationships and amazing connections, including romantic relationships, but also business partnerships and friendships and all of these different ways that human beings connect. How do you believe travel kind of set you up for this awareness of how people can optimize their interaction?
I think it started at home, even when I was in seventh grade. My parents had gotten divorced. My dad was a writer, but my dad was also a minister at that time, and he'd been excommunicated because he divorced my mom, which was made him the black sheep of both families. And I wanted to appreciate him and still respect him. So I was also really terribly shy. And as a preacher's kid, you're better to be seen than heard. It was kind of the adage, even though my parents didn't put that on me. And one of the things that I dared myself to do in seventh grade to get over my shyness, because I thought it wasn't serving my greater good, was to see everybody that I met, no matter who they were, as a potential character in an upcoming play or book or script that I was writing. And so when I embraced that, I could see the joy and the light in everybody. So I think that nature, and then being so adventurous and curious myself, that I love to go for an adventure. I used to say, you know, spark your love drug, spark your endorphins. Anytime you can get outside the box and do something different, you are creating these magic memories. And so the embracing of that magic memories being our currency in life, and having that awareness of everybody that's in front of you is meant to be there for a purpose, and to see their light and what makes them shine, I think is a really great way to go about traveling. And that's what I did from a young age once I could start traveling on my own.
All right. I had my microphone on mute, so I didn't interrupt your answer with my But I love, you know, the fact that you did get started young, and certainly even out of, you know, the let's say relative disappointment of a divorce, you know, that's never, even when there's an understanding that everybody's better off after the fact, I still feel like on some level, there's kind of like this feeling of like, well, okay, that didn't work out. And so you know, in terms of looking at it really as an opportunity to expand and to do and see new things, where were some of your earliest travel experiences where you were able to kind of engage this magic memory making?
Well, when I was in college, one of my very best friends, he had a dual citizenship between New Zealand and here, and he had been raised primarily by his grandparents. So his grandparents were approaching their 50th wedding anniversary, and I said that, my goodness, we should really make a trip down there. So I was lucky enough to spend a little over 2.5 weeks in a camper van traveling from the top of the North Island to the bottom of the South Island and back, and I was able to taste some of the New Zealand wine. That was back in 1997. So it was a long time ago, but not many people knew that New Zealand was even making wine at that time. So I had already had a love of food and wine. And so that trip actually spawned me to start a company importing wine from New Zealand. So that was definitely one of my first trips. I made it down to Costa Rica with some friends. Wow, that was like right around that same time. So it was pretty rural back then. There wasn't even like a major highway that went through the country. And I've since been through a few times. I got to go to London, which was delightful, and visit some people when I was in another company that got to take me there. So those were the ones in the beginning. Of course, to Mexico, because my family lived down in San Diego, and I got to hop across the border a few times. But and Canada, I also have family in Canada, so I got to come up close to you, Ernest. Yeah, so I think in the first like 10 years, like that, I could do my own traveling. I was jumping around quite a bit.
Oh, that's great. You know, it gets you started. It gets people into the mood for travel. I call that, well, actually, that is traveling. But before that, there's what I call the traveling mood that I think people, you know, it would do well for people to start kind of getting into that mood, trying different foods and listening to music, watching films and that kind of thing. And so what came up for me when you were talking was just a few memories of some lovely little encounters that I've had over the years while traveling. Some little, you know, you could call them flings, you could call them, one friend of mine called it l'affaire. Like, you know, just like these interactions that make, that add spice to travel. You know, that kind of, that's a part of it, just being out in the world. And I don't necessarily believe that, well, maybe. I think you can call these things into your experience. I think you can speak with intention and go out and say, you know what, I'm going to France and I'm going to have a rendezvous. I'm going to, you know, intentionally create something. But in the vein of getting into a traveling mood, how can one get into a romantic mood before traveling in a way that has them being open to these kinds of opportunities?
Question. And that sparks my memory that I forgot to tell you about Turkey and Greece, because I definitely had some sparks there.
Okay. We love
how could I forget that? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There was a gentleman that was sitting, he was playing a guitar on top of a building, and it was called the Joyful Bar, and he was sitting in front of Joyful. I mean, like, how could I not be attracted to that, mm-hmm. right? Like, as I was
troubadouring I was right like, over your, on top yeah. of your name. I love that.
Oh, that was funny. That guy still came back and kept knocking on my friend's door going, where can I find her?
You gotta step up to the plate, my man. And yes, I've been serenaded as well. So I know how nice.
No doubt. Yeah. So I think the answer to your question, though, to get ready for that mindset, I think it's different nowadays than, man, when, you know, I was back in college and right thereafter. But I think just on a personal level is feeling self-confident. It's what can you do to feel confident and safe and secure in and of yourself in these environments? I think it's a little easier for gentlemen than it is for women. So,
Fair.
I think if you're with somebody, it could probably be a little bit easier if you're a female and traveling with somebody, male or female. But if you have that safety and security, and I think that comes with knowing where you're going to be, doing your due diligence beforehand so that you can be in and aware of where you are and don't accidentally stumble into some place you shouldn't be, keep your wits about you, know what your boundaries are before you get into a situation, and also know how you take different alcohol. I mean, even in Turkey, there was some alcohols that I had never had before that did different things that I had never known.
Sure.
Like, okay, that will take me in a different direction than I want to be. So, knowing where your personal limits are and taking that time to do your own self-work and to have that air of confidence, yet self-respect and grace. I think that sometimes we see on YouTube and TikTok some people who are influencers who are just leading with the big boobs and the flashy looks and the money, and you're going to get a certain type of person attracted to you when you do that. So also being mindful of where you want to, bring in the energy. And if you look at how you're presenting yourself, you're going to attract certain people, and there could be certain people you don't want to attract. So, how do you navigate those waters, still being authentic to yourself, but being able to show up and to do the dance? And I think most universal way of flirting is with your eyes. So, having significant eye play. Yes, you do. Yes, you do that so well, Ernest. So
I'm from the school of
knowing that
schmiezing.
you are so good. So being able to look at people in the eye, hold eye contact, or something called left eye gazing. So when you go left eye to left eye with somebody, you're softening the corners of your eyes, corners of your mouth. You're looking at them in a more warm and inviting way because you're using more of the right side of the brain. And it just makes you more approachable. Now, if you go right eye to right eye with somebody, this is usurping dominance. It's putting more of a terseness to your face. It's seeing somebody with little check boxes. Do they make that? Do they meet that? Do they meet that? And it just doesn't put somebody, feeling comfortable around you. So just even slightly tilting your head so that you have that left eye to left eye, and then making sure that whatever's happening in the back of your mind, you need to know that it's coming out like a megaphone out of the corners of your eyes and the corners of your mouth. So your spindle cells are connecting, your mirror neurons are syncing up. And if you're thinking, oh my gosh, do I have spinach in my teeth? Like somebody's going to feel that and they're going to get all nervous thinking that they have spinach in their teeth because you've just broadcast that to them, or something's wrong and they don't like me. So whatever you can do to go, okay, what can I see about this person that I really like and I want to hone in on so that I'm holding on to a positive thought about them? It's going to be a good thing for you. And if you don't like somebody, do the opposite. Like you want to tilt the opposite direction, don't mirror them because your body talks very quickly and they should pick up on those cues if you want them to leave you alone.
Let me hear your body talk. I don't know why
Oh,
that popped into my head. I suppose because of my age. But but and I as you were
gotta
saying
start
this, I
dancing
was
there.
just I know a good old ONJ. But I was, thinking about a few recent interactions in how I kind of might have been. I was like, was I looking with the left eye or the right eye? I don't know. It's these things are subtle, and I do think they're interesting to be aware of. Obviously, and I know you're not saying this, and we don't want people to think, oh, you always have to be like, am I doing that? No, it's about relaxing into this, relaxing into the awareness, and noticing, but not making it be a make or break, right? It's just like, yeah, there's a whole
Yeah, you
plethora
don't want
of movements and activities you can be doing, right?
and you don't want to come out with a pirate eye and like cover their other eyes so that you, that's going to make you look a little odd too. Do that.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Well, I'll say this, and I think it's tangential, but maybe not really. When I recognize that I have a very expressive face, and if something is displeasing me, it is almost very obvious. It's almost, like it's evident. My poker face sucks, and so I would say what I actually try to do personally is have a pleasant countenance on my face all the time, simply because it does make me feel a little better, because it's really easy to be put off by just something simple like a bad smell in the street, or I hate that song, or like something, those kinds of things, and all of a sudden you're frowning. And I don't want to come off as or even feel like I'm always noticing something critically. And so therefore, when I go out and walk around, I try to remember to just kind of have, maybe like a little Mona Lisa, just upturned corners of the mouth, simply because it does make me feel like I've got a more pleasant disposition, and I'm responded to in that way a bit more pleasantly as I go about
Most
my
definitely.
day.
There's science behind that too.
I
When
bet there was.
the
And some
Penn
math.
study, that there was this a weird one where they had the subjects put a pen in their mouth while they were watching and listening to things, and then they voted and said whether or not they were funny or nice, or all the positive terms. And then they had people do the same things and have the same interactions without the pen in their mouth, and they voted them less. So we are actually putting more endorphins into our system when we are smiling. And of course, you're syncing up with people in that positive way. So that's awesome.
All right. Well, I'm going to do that even more. And all this money that went into my braces and whitening and all that, I might as well show them off.
Your
Also,
parents agree.
yes, they do. A bought mouth, as my dad calls it. And the other thing too is if sometimes I'm tired or just look like I haven't slept, when I smile, you don't notice the bags under my eyes as much. So, it smiling works out. Anyway, th then in terms of, we want to be encouraging people to do things more than not do things. However, what are some things that you believe might be pivots, adjustments that people can make as they go about their day if they want to have a to open themselves up to more engagement? Again, not necessarily romantically, that's great if that's what you're looking for, but also just again to meet interesting people, to create that kind of fertile ground for connection that we both thrive on.
And I think it goes back to what I was saying in the beginning of that idea that everybody and anybody who comes into your presence to see the best in them and to do kind of a character analysis of them to pull out something positive. So you just want to hold people's eye contact with that smile as much as possible. If you speak the language, that's even better, to be able to have something that you can say that is authentic about who they are that you like. I think that if you're a guy speaking to a female, you have to watch out and not compliment just the looks all the time, but something, about their interaction or the way that they held themselves or the commentary. And I complimented somebody the other day that there was a cranky person in front of me in line, and then I got up to them and I was like, "You handled that so smoothly. I mean, that was just really like graceful that you took care of that person and sent them on their way that way." And so taking just a moment to see something special about that person so they feel seen and heard in your presence, I think is just one of the best gifts that you can give somebody anytime. And that's going to open you up to having more conversations with them.
I love that. And it's something that I was raised doing. And I think a lot of folks, not exclusive to being from the American South, but that's a region where, as we're kind of reared, we're taught to not only say good morning and you know, hold doors and that kind of thing, but we're also taught to, we were modeled how to compliment people. Yeah. Just in that, like, oh, and lovely hat kind of thing. And as people, as lovely hats get rarer and rarer, it's, you know, when I do get to say, oh, lovely hat, it's actually a bit heightened. We both end up laughing because it does sound like from the 19th century. But I do enjoy those kind of interactions. And I've been complimenting people on their shoes, on their coats, just, you know, and the more you do it, the more you get into the habit of it, the practice of it. And I, yeah. I feel good. It's not for any kind of anything in return. I feel good doing it.
Yeah. I was going to toss out one that if you're single and you are looking to potentially find somebody, you should talk to me about becoming a love agent for me, because one of my love agents who are single's favorite thing to do is to be able to turn around in a line if they're waiting and they have an attractive person behind them that they're interested in potentially, and say, excuse me, I know this is a strange question, but it's kind of par for the course for the strange occupation that I have on the side, but I'm a secret love agent. And I was just curious whether or not you were single, because I work with this international matchmaker and I get to nominate people once in a while as a VIP into her database. But, you know, if you're taken, which you probably are taken because you are such a good looking, you're good, you know, whatever, you pay a compliment to them. But if you weren't, or maybe you know somebody who is that's nearby, then I might also be able to interview for her because we're looking in this area. So it gives you the opportunity deflecting that it's not you that's searching for this. Have a friend.
Asking for a friend. Asking for a friend.
Yes.
Are you single?
Yes. but you're very enrolling. Secret love agent.
Yes, I'm a secret love agent. Only one client. Oh my gosh.
We'll tell Joy. We'll submit you, and then Joy will do the due diligence to see if you could be a good fit.
Mm-hmm. All right. You secret love agents out there, potential secret love agents. So really quickly, because this is one of those conversations that goes too quickly, you know, you talked about it earlier, particularly with regard to women and making sure they feel safe, right? Like that's something I can't relate to, it being a male embodied person and 6 feet tall and large, I'm pretty much not messed around with. However, you know, I also have lots of women friends who travel solo or, you know, with kids and that kind of thing. But what are some, aside from traveling with someone else, if they're traveling by themselves, what are some tips that they can maybe implement to feel not only safe and empowered, but fun and flirty as well, you know, and because what we don't want it to sound like, well, there are these steps that you have to, you know, reach before you can do this other thing. You know, when people go out traveling, they want to be able to kind of have all of that built in all at once. And so, you know, are there any tips that you can offer to our lady listeners who are, just wanting to feel free to be, if you're listening to this, you can't see the hand movement, my gesture of a flirty freeness, flirty freedom.
You're cute. I think that's good to look at before you get into any situation. So knowing, again, where you're traveling, kind of knowing the lay of the land, that you don't want to stumble into an area of town that's not a good area of town. You know, I can name some of those around the Bay Area that you wouldn't want to stumble into, or I have accidentally, and it's not been very pleasant. And it was funny, when I was younger and I lived, I went to school in Berkeley and Mills College, and I actually had men friends that were 6'4" or taller. I just adopted them as my bodyguards. So that's always a good thing. It's like, okay, find a few safe guys that you can go, hey, you know, could you just be my travel guide? Could you be my bodyguard? I also think that one of my friends had a really great idea, and she enlisted the help of a photographer when she would go somewhere by herself, so that she would be having somebody who could take some fun photos of her and to be somebody who was local and to be a tour guide behind the scenes and to have that presence. So that's an option. Also, just going in, having your spidey sense about you, you know, sure, seeing the environment and paying attention, knowing what your limits are, again, with alcohol and whatnot. But being able to have that, I am attracting people who are gentlemen into my life. I am attracting people who have a certain, you know, caliber, and this is all I will put up with. And I think going in with knowing very distinctly, this is, I will put somebody in their place once, I might put them in their place twice, they're not around for the third time. And I know, you know, how to do that in a way that I'm not castrating somebody, but I am very nicely telling them, yeah, that doesn't work for me, or that does work for me. And asking for backup from, you know, somebody around, always looking for a safe face in the crowd that could help, you know, you if you need somebody to step in. But other than that, coming in with that self-confidence and that air of talking in your mind, like you were saying, you know, to get to that place, one of my favorite ones just to come into the environment to be flirtatious and fun was, I know something you don't know, and it's really fun. It's really sexy. You should really come and talk to me about it. And you just have that look of like mystery and flirtation and like excitement about you. And people are like, what does she know? What does she know? And it becomes this magnet. So, you know, watch out if you want that, then it comes to you. You know, also, if you're not feeling like you want to talk, you can also put that, you know, cloak on like they have in the Lord of the Rings and be, you know, hidden and just go, today I'm just going to be observing instead of wanting the attention. But if you do want the attention, being, you know, very, very, much setting the intention of what you want and intend for that segment of time and feeling into that so that you're embodying it, I think it's going to be a really wonderful way to proceed.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You were touching on mindset, kind of, and I think that's something that we should certainly mention is that's at the core. You know, it's how you view yourself as someone who is always the recipient of quality connections and interaction of people who are fully self-expressed, fully formed, stable, who are bringing nothing but positive, upbeat, engaging, interesting, adventurous interaction and possibilities into our lives. When we make that assumption that people are going to show up like that, the majority do show up like that. And the few that don't, you're able to identify that sooner than later. And I say this coming from my own personal experience of many years of personal work to even get to that point of awareness. And certainly that point of assumption that, you know, everything's always working out for me, to use an Abraham Hicks phrase. But yeah, it's, you know, when you go out looking with the intention that everything's going to work out, it generally does. And including in terms of safety, in terms of, you know, resources, and certainly in terms of connections with people.
And pausing in those moments, bringing Abraham back in of the segment intending, where you're in this moment, and you're going to go, I'm going to give this three adjectives for this particular segment in time. And it's your brain looks for that and makes it happen, and you're attracting it. So it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also then with that being present, you know, with it being in the moment, and that's what's required. We're often not in the moment, but, you know, I think those times when we have an amazing connection where there's sparks and sparkles on both sides, again, romantic, amazing. Sometimes it's just a really cool person that you're connecting with. And like, it doesn't even have that kind of sexual or romantic component, but it's just got this alignment. And you're excited because of just like, oh, like, this is an amazing conversation that I'm having with this random person that I'm sitting next to on a plane or in a line or whatever else, you know, being in that and just savoring it, letting it, you know, milking that. That's the spice of life. Like, that's kind of what we're here to do. And so I'm super stoked about the opportunities for people who have not thought about this as they go out or who are kind of looking at it more externally. It's how we show up. That's how we attract all of these amazing experiences and people into our lives. So how then, Joy, can people get in touch with you, aside from you being one of our core storytellers in the Fly Brother and Friends travel community? How can people engage with you externally and become possibly one of your secret love agents?
Yes, my website is called joyofromance.com. And I also have, at the moment, a complimentary every other Tuesday office hours from 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to 8:30 or 9 p.m. And you can find that through Meetup or through emailing directly at joy@joyofromance.com and put intelligent love office hours in the subject line. And if you do that, then I'll add you to my direct email list for that. But it's been a ton of fun. I've been doing it for almost 2.5 years now. So pretty crazy. And I'm excited to see how things are going to evolve into a separate community for Intelligent Love as my own podcast comes out this year.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Everybody, head there. Gentlemen, no matter your orientation, you're always welcome as well. So, and some of you need some coaching. Guys, thank you so much for being here, Joy. Thank you for doing the work that you do, for showing up, and for helping people create the romance of life, for helping people just live into just amazing, wonderful, magical experiences in all aspects of life. Relationship included, intimate, personal relationship included, but not exclusively. I think that's the important part for people to understand. Every interaction with another human being is a connection. Thank you all for listening. Again, Joy, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Ernest. Always a pleasure.
All right, everybody. Have a great one.
Welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. As Joy mentioned before the break, you can find out more about cultivating the romance of life at joyofromance.com and on X and Facebook at Joy of Romance. You can watch this episode of the Fly Brother Radio Show at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/c/flybrother. Fly with us by signing up for the weekly Fly Brother newsletter at flybrother.net and connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/flybrotherfly and on Instagram at flybrother. Please share any questions, content, or stories that help me help others thrive. And if you feel so moved, please share this podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Fly Brother Radio Show. Have a phenomenal weekend and an amazing week. Ciao, ciao.